Next Step is made possible through a grant from Gatto and Laura Artinian of Sydney, Australia, in Mergen, and listeners like you. Donate at epostle.net.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazgen. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazgen's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazgen, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 326 of The Next Step, a podcast, well, that connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical and the spiritual, the emotional. And if you have an inkling of curiosity or suspicions to what we're doing over here, just sit back and relax right now. Put on your running shoes, walking shoes, or crawl with us as we take The Next Step. So good to have you with us today. It is a beautiful day here in Southern California. I hope it's a beautiful one wherever you are. You're kicking back and enjoying today's show. A lot of good stuff coming up on today's show. Let's start off with the best news of all. First of all, wow, I guess you guys did miss Ani's Bubble. Got a lot of response to last week's Ani's Bubbles, and yes, Ani is now a mama bubble. Ani had a beautiful baby boy named Arek. Congratulations to her and her wonderful husband, Eric, to the grandparents, to my sister, Anush, to just the whole family. Ah, it was an exciting few days. You know, life has changed so much because of texting, because of technology. I mean, we feel it over here, right? We got this thing called the podcast, right? And it's podcast kind of technologically based. It's not as easy as a TV or a radio, but there's some techie stuff to it. It starts on a computer, it ends on a computer, or some kind of media and everything. Well, texting, wow! Okay, we're going back and forth on multiple texts. I mean, this is where I guess the whole Twitter idea began, right? Why have multiple texts when you can have the whole world looking at it? We are going back and forth. Is the baby here? Baby's not here. But what's going on? Where is it? You know, going back and forth and back and forth. And finally, the good news came Monday, Labor Day. Very appropriate. I supposed to say no pun intended, but no, the pun is intended. Or isn't it? Anyway, it was on Labor Day. She gave birth to this a little bit over 6 pounds, close to 7 pounds. I don't know the exact weight. Never understood that whole weight thing anyway. There's a time in your life you don't want people to know your weight, but I guess when you're a baby, it's okay. So, baby boy named Arek. Congratulations to everyone. Yeah, me too. Yeah, congratulations to me too. Wonderful stuff going on. And for me, you know, every time I see a newborn baby, and I get quite a bit of opportunity to see newborn babies, you know where? Yeah, in church. Because one of the first stops that people come to before taking the baby out of the house is the church. And we have a special service, the service of purification, 40 days after a child is born. And it has to do with Jesus going to the temple on the 40th day after his birth. And it's a purification rite for the mother and an opportunity to present the child to the church. And so I get a chance to see these newborn babies all the time. Just about every Sunday right after church, someone comes up with a newborn and I get to hold them and take them around the altar and offer a prayer. And you know, the wonder that you see in a new child, in a new birth, is something that you cannot describe. You try to find the words. You say, okay, here's hope. Here's hope for the future. But what does that word mean? We talked about this, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later, too, in the podcast, about the idea of mystery. There are certain words that are really loaded words, faith, hope, and love being the ultimate words. What do those really mean? We talk about faith. Faith, what is that, you know? Martin Luther King says faith is taking the step even though you don't see the staircase. Paraphrasing him, of course, you know. Well, okay, that's faith. That's an action of faith. But does it describe faith? Well, what is hope? You see a new child and you see hope for the future. You know that there's a possibility for the future. And every time that I hold a child or I see a brand new child, a brand new human being on this planet, I look and I'm, first of all, amazed at the wonders that God has created. And you look at a child's fingernail. Take a look, if you have this opportunity on a newborn, take a look at the fingernail. It's a piece of paper. And yet this small little piece of paper has the DNA code for everything. Everything the child is going to be, who that person is. I mean, it's the makeup. And you know, this little fingernail that looks like a piece of paper, you cannot create. It is not creatable. You cannot put a few things together and create this. And yet it is created every single day, every single moment a child is born. And there's a wonder in that too. From the tiny little eyes to the beautiful, sometimes they're not too beautiful. Sometimes they're bushy, but not too often, okay? The eyebrows over those eyes. And you know, you see the full head of hair, you see the bald heads. Just wonderful, wonderful creations, and you marvel. That's the word, okay? You look and you sit there and you actually marvel at the wonders of creation in a child. And you sit there and you have to wonder what a great God this is, that we have the ability to procreate, we have the ability to really bring new life, a piece of ourselves back into life, like to continue on history. It's mind-boggling when you think about it, right? But you look at a little child and you can't help but smile, right? It brings happiness to your life. And then you know that there's all kinds of trials, many kinds of difficulties that child will have to endure throughout his or her lifetime. And you know, that's part of the life game. But you begin with a dream. And this is so important. You've heard me talk a lot about dreams. I believe in those dreams. That's what differentiates us from all of the other animals. We have the ability to dream about things that come into our mind. We have imagination. That imagination that you can picture different things. I heard somebody talk the other day. He says, the imagination is so powerful. It's like, why isn't there liver and onion ice cream? Why hasn't Ben and Jerry's invented liver and onion ice cream? Because there's an imagination, right? And you can imagine that would be a horrible taste. So you don't create liver and onion ice cream. Right? And in the same way, you do create the things that you can dream of. You have that imagination. In other words, you can sit there and you could picture, you could actually taste liver and onions and you say, whoa, that doesn't belong on an ice cream cone. And so you don't create it. Well, in the same way, you can picture something beautiful. You can picture the end of war. You can picture peace on this planet. You can picture everlasting love. They're difficult concepts, but you can picture it and picture a world where there is no fear of violence. That's a big one, but you can picture it. And so this is where our hope begins. It begins with this dream. I'm going to play the song of the day early in today. This is a performer back in the Stone Ages when I was around, actually when my kids were growing up. He's a very popular singer, performer. His name is Rafi. And this is a song called Every Child. A little dedication to little Otik and to all the little children.
Every child is a child of the universe. Here to sing the song of beauty and grace. Here to love, like a flower out to bloom. Every girl and boy a blessing and a joy. Every child of men and women. The milk that's mother's own, a healthy child, as the dance of life unfolds, every child in the family safe and warm. Dreams of children free to fly, free of hunger and war. Air to share with dolphins and elephants and whales all around. Every child dreams of peace in this world, wants a home and a gentle hand to hold, to provide room to grow and to belong in the loving village of human kindness. Of children free to fly, free of hunger and war, clean flowing water and air to share with dolphins and eagles and whales all around. Every child is a child of the universe, here to sing a song of beauty and grace. Here to love, like a flower out to bloom. Every girl and boy a blessing and a joy. Every girl and boy a blessing and a joy. Every girl and boy a blessing and a joy. Every child,
every girl and boy, every child,
every girl and boy,
every girl and boy, every child,
every child,
every girl and boy, every child,
every child.
Every Child by Rafi. We'll put a link on our show notes so you could check out his great music. I'm sure it's still available. I know he's not performing. Or maybe I don't know that, but my kids grew up with those songs. The songs of Rafi, great entertainer.
He nets over bites, no de order, in the order, yev, who is an order, yes, I'd come up so soon.
Well, the time has come. My feet are, they're ready. The calluses are in place, okay? We're getting to walk the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. Now, I never liked that name, by the way. It does just that we're walking for breast cancer. It shouldn't be walk against breast cancer, or walk to fight breast cancer. Anyway, it is called the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer. It is 39.3 miles, and we get to do it out in Santa Barbara, which isn't a bad deal. It is a beautiful place on the central coast of California. We're going to be walking 39.3 miles. People ask why that. I believe because a marathon is 26.2 miles, right? So we're going to be doing a day and a half, a marathon and a half, 6.2 and 13.1 miles. So it's going to be 39.3 miles. And thanks to many of you who've been listening to The Next Step and to many others, I have reached my goal. Each of us had to collect $1,800 to donate to Avon Foundation to go to breast cancer research as well as treatment. And I'm talking about hundreds will be gathering in Santa Barbara to participate in this walk. Thousands throughout the United States at various different locations throughout the year. But this will be my third Avon walk. I know my sister's done about 10 of them. My wife has done about 5 of them. There's people who've been in it from the day it began. And they continue to do it. Some old people, too. Yeah, like older than me. it is just a lot of fun. You get to walk and you get to talk. And you get to really do something, make an impact. I've been trying to figure this out. Is there a difference if I just collected the money and handed it over? There are, I got to tell you, during the training process, there are many times where I think about it. I do not want to train for this thing. You know, let me just write over the check and here it is. Leave me alone. But there is something to be said about the walk itself. It is calming. It gives you a chance to transcend your day-to-day activities and really put yourself in a small little area where you feel like you're doing something very meaningful. And I have to admit that the closing ceremonies that I've been a participant at have been very meaningful for me, sometimes very, very moving, whether I've been participating or standing on the sidelines watching. It's an opportunity for you to really think that, you know, there's so many problems in the world. And this is a small step, literally a step that you're taking, but it's a necessary step. All dreams begin with us waking up. And if you dream about breast cancer being eliminated, as well as all types of cancer, right? Let's not just pick on breast cancer. All cancer should be eliminated. Well, how do you do that? Well, you have to research it. You have to find the cures. You need to fund it. This is a very, very important part of life. And that's what I want to talk about right now, is about this relationship between money and the project. Because a lot of times we get confounded. We get confounded in thinking that, oh, we can't do things because we don't have the money. And I'm going to tell you a personal story that's taking place. It's playing out right now, actually, in my life. As you know, a few months ago, I went on a pilgrimage. I took a group of people on a pilgrimage to Armenia. We called it the pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. We saw Ararat from Armenia, the Republic, as well as from historic Armenia, which is now called Turkey. And we were able to go on both sides of Ararat and really see some beautiful, beautiful places, meaningful places. And as I shared with you a few months ago, I found the pearl that Jesus talks about. He says, a merchant, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of a pearl. And once he finds that pearl of great value, he sells everything that he has so that he can acquire that pearl. And when you find that kingdom of God, it's up to you to really say, do I want it or not? And if I want it, then you have to go after that dream. Now, I'm talking about kingdom of God. I'm talking about Armenia. But as I tell you this story, switch out whatever you want. The variables can be switched out. Instead of a trip to Armenia, it could be, your business plans that you have. It could be the family plans that you have. Whatever you have, Jesus says you sell everything to get that, to acquire that pearl of great value. And I found that pearl, the kingdom of God. I found it in a place called Armenia, historic as well as present-day Armenia, in the monasteries, in the shrines of faith, in the faith of the people. And I shared that with you a few months ago. Now, I put it to my mind that I'm going to go back there and we're going to do some project. We're going to get this message out to the world. And I'm committed to that. If this was any other place, if Armenia was any other place, Discovery Channel, National Geographic, and a whole assortment of like kind of broadcasts would be there televising and sharing this. I mean, imagine we went to one place by the river Arax. This is right on the border between Armenia and Turkey. And they have discovered a city. They are excavating. They've discovered a city with walkways and with houses, with rooms. And they're excavating like one shovel at a time. And you could see it there. You could see it there. And I just thought to myself, you know, if this was anywhere else, you know, Discovery Channel would be there, right? Hey, take a look. Look what we found over here. How about Karahunj? I mean, this thing predates Stonehenge. And Karahunj is sent as a testament to a group of people who were making universal observations. Observations within our galaxy, within the universe. And we're writing about it centuries ago, millennium ago. And it's sitting there, and really very few people know about it. You go into the monasteries and you see that here are the centers of faith. People who were devastated, destroyed, raped, pillaged by barbarians, by countries, by emperors. Countries, nations coming in and just wiping out people in wars, in planned genocide. And yet these people found refuge in these churches that are not just made of stone, but they're made of spirit. You walk into these churches and you feel the spirit over there. And it draws you in, much like the vortex. You're standing at a vortex, and it is just drawing you in. And you realize that there is something bigger than yourself. And so I made a commitment when I came back. I said, I've got to get this message out. Because here in Armenia, in these monasteries, in these places of faith, of spirituality, you have an answer to what the world is searching for. I mean, we're looking for peace in the world. You see it every single day, especially these past few months. You see, you can't avoid it in the news. And just a couple days ago, we saw another journalist beheaded at the hands of people, barbarians. And we hear the saber rattling that comes from the United States, from Russia, towards each other because of what's going on in the Ukraine. And we think that we're going to find peace through politics. Politics has its place, but we've never tried something greater. I mean, is it just possible that there is something better than politics? I mean, you certainly see. I mean, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, you know, you got your one-liners that people are throwing out. Peace begins with you. Peace begins with yourself. There's quotes from different philosophers, from different religious leaders that tell you peace begins with you. Let it begin with me, we say, right? But do we try this? Do we try these philosophies? Do we push it a little bit and say that maybe there is an answer for the whole world? Or does it necessarily mean it is for us? Well, obviously it's not only for us when we say it starts with me. Where do you want it to end? Obviously you want it to end with a peace for the world, for your community, a harmony, a stability in your family. And if you can make it work for yourself, you can make it work for your family, you can go to the community. From the community, you go on to the city, to the country, and why not the world? But it depends on us dreaming that dream and believing in that dream. And once we dream that dream and believe it, we need to make it happen. You wake up from the dream, okay? And you say, okay, I am now going to make it happen. How? Well, let it begin with me, okay? Let me find that peace within me. May I be in harmony with all that is around me. Not just the natural forces, but with everyone around me. Just this morning, I had to do a funeral. Mother was Armenian. The father was Tongan. You know where Tongan is? Tonga? It's one of the islands way down there in the southern hemisphere. I don't know exactly. I believe it is close to Australia. Let me check that out, courtesy of Google. Yeah, it looks like it's, well, it's off of Australia, okay? It's one of the islands, the Polynesian sovereign state. It's called the Kingdom of Tonga. And it was so beautiful, as sad as it was an 18-year-old kid who passed away in a car accident. And this boy had all of his family there, and there was a large contingency from the father's side, from the Tongan side. And of course, we were there as the Armenian contingency. And you know what we did? We prayed together, we laughed together, and we cried together. And I was just thinking to myself, you know, here we are on this planet, and our only hope is to be able to reach out to one another as brothers and sisters. And yet you don't see that, do you, in the world? You don't see that. Everywhere you look, you're talking about enemies, one against the other. And these enemies are no different than you and me. They have blood going through their veins. They have a head on their shoulders. They have a face. They look like you and me. And you know what? If you're going to believe that there is a creator who creates this world, you've got to believe that he's not partial to one or the other, right? Why would he create somebody to be the bad guy? He's not partial to anyone. We are all one. The Paul says it, we are all one in Christ. Christ said it, by this they will know that you are my children. How? By the love that you have. That's the condition, right? He's not giving a genealogy condition, a genetic condition. He's not saying by this you will be known as my children, by who you are when you were born. You were born a Jew, were you born an Armenian, a British sovereign citizen? Who are you? No, by this they will know that you are my children, by the way you love. Well, that love connects it all, right? So that we are all one. And honestly, if you think about it, there's no other way of looking at this world, especially in this day and age, in a globalized world that we're living in, globalized society. Now, there are differences. I had a chance to talk with a deacon from one of the kids, and he was a Tongan. And we had a chance to talk about our cultures. And culture is beautiful. There's a diversity. It's beautiful if you can share and you can be respectful of each other's culture. The problem arises when you go beyond that, when you start saying that one culture is better than the other. Well, what does that involve? That involves ego. My culture, my background is better than yours. Now we got a problem there, right? Because if this is the superior background, you need to come over to this side. And this is where everything begins. It's a lot of ego. It's a lot of ego at play. And so once we understand that we are all together in this as one people, it's a very simple matter. It's us reaching out to people and sharing that love that Christ talks about. And it isn't as difficult as you think. Why? Because if you realize it's your brother or sister, it makes it a lot easier. It's possible. And this possibility is at the heart of why I walk the Avon Breast Cancer Walk. Because there is a possibility that us, each of us doing, each of us one person, being that small droplet that makes up the ocean, each of us has a responsibility to everyone else. That's a tough one. I know people don't want to hear that. It's the R word, responsibility. I don't want to have responsibility. I like the way it is. I like to kick back. I like to just enjoy. Forget about responsibility. But you know what? Like it or not, at some point, if you want the big prize at the end, you need to take on that responsibility. So this is why I walked the Avon Walk, and I was just about to share with you, and I got carried away about what I'm doing right now. So I want to get this message from Armenia out to people. And we are planning a trip to Armenia in a couple weeks. We're going to be going there for 2 weeks exactly. We're going to have a chance to meet with people over there. There's a small group going from here. We're going to meet up with some people over there. We're going to be looking at many of these sites and talking about possibilities about production work over there and bringing it over here. My object immediately is to start a channel on YouTube where we can produce some of this quality video that we shoot over there. We have artist Gregory Baylarian joining us on the first trip, and hopefully on this trip too, he'll be coming along and shooting some incredible footage that once you see this stuff, I mean, you know what? I'm going to give you a teaser today. I'm going to put a teaser out on today's show notes. I want to just share with you one of the pictures that we took, we brought back from the trip. You're going to get to see all of them in a few months. We're going to be exhibiting them as part of the 100-year journey. That's a project in itself. And it's tied in with this, of course, and the funding for that is also something that we're scared about. And here's the secret that I was going to tell you about. Okay, this is what I was going to share with you. The deep, dark secret. I don't know where this money's coming from. Yeah, seriously. I don't know where the money's going to come from, but I know it's going to come. Because I think about this all the time. We're always scared to do things because we don't have the resources. What if it was the other way around? What if we had the resources? Would we do these things? Well, sometimes you end up using the resources for other things. And somehow your dreams get killed. Any of you have thought about a business, you know, you get a bright idea and you say, oh, if I had the money to do it. How about the other way around? Just do it and see if the money will come. If you think about it spiritually within the work that I do in the church, and who's in charge? If it's God's work, that money has to come. It will come. And it requires us to be bold enough to say that I'm going to take that step. And that's what we're doing. I'm going to Armenia in a couple weeks. I'm going to be working with people over there. I hope to make this a part of a larger project. I hope to be able to discover more of those secrets and share it with the world. It's a hurting world. And guess what? Armenia has an answer over there. Yeah, you got to sift through politics. Yeah, there's people that are, you know, people talk about Armenia. It's always interesting. They talk about corruption as if corruption doesn't exist anywhere else, you know. Oh, it's such a corrupt little place. Hey, have you looked around you? Whatever country you live in, tell me there's no corruption in politics, in the cities that you live in the states, in the countries that you live in. Okay, there's corruption. But can we walk outside of that corruption and see the beauty that's out there? Can we see the rose instead of seeing the thorns? I know, it's beautiful. It shines at you. It's the rose. The thorns are so small. But, you know, there's a saying, even in a soup, if one fly falls into it, it's ruined the entire soup. Yeah, I know, it ruins things. Corruption. Evil people, they ruin things. But can we be bold enough to look at the rose, to look beyond those thorns, and see that there is something beautiful there, something magical there, much like the child's fingernail, that rose with the petals and the small little drops of dew on there, and realize that you can't create this, and we have the potential to destroy it, we have the potential to savor its beauty, and put it in front of us as a model of what we can be. So when I walk the Avon walk, it's not just about breast cancer that we're fighting. We're fighting against the notion that evil can be conquered by people coming together and doing something about it. When I take this trip to Armenia, it's not about taking a trip and a luxury thing, that luxury experience and a tourist thing that I'm going to go to. No, it's an opportunity for us to find and discover something, a legacy that we could leave to the world, a gift that we could leave to the world. And it's out there. It just requires us to be bold enough to say, yes, I want to do it. I'm going to do it. And now I shared with you my dream, and I know you have dreams. It's the same thing. Whatever dream you have, don't wait for the money. Don't wait for the money. Now, I'm not advocating going out and racking up a bunch of credit card debt. That's a horrible thing. But you know what? Sometimes you have to be a risk taker. And you risk it. And you throw it out there, okay? But with that risk, you have to have some calculation. Calculated risk. Now, that's not too bad. That one economists will tell you, that's A2. Calculated risks. And I believe that this is a calculated risk. We can go out there. We can see the things that we want to see. We can bring back with us treasures. And we can present it to the world. And I believe, I strongly believe that the money will follow. All good things begin with that dream. The boldness that you have to wake up from that dream and making it happen. Think of a small little restaurant. Quaint little restaurant. Maybe some of you have one, okay? Start off with a dream. Hey, what do they tell you? The first, second, third years? You're going to go in debt. It's not going to be easy. But it's a calculated risk. Because you know at the end, you're going to have customers. You're going to have people there. They're going to be coming in. And it's going to be okay. I'm living with that dream. It's the same dream I have for breast cancer. It's the same dream that I have for Armenia. It's the same dream that parents have for their children, for newborn babies. You don't know what life is going to give you. You don't know what's ahead of you. But you have a dream. And so you set that dream in motion. You bring a life into this world. You cherish it. You nurture it. And you know that if it's right, it's going to live. That dream will live. Make your dream happen. I'm going to try to make my dream happen.
Susie here again. Before continuing with this broadcast, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners, for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step has given us the opportunity to touch many lives and create lasting friendships. For this, we are immensely grateful. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. We would love to be able to continue this ministry for as long as there is a need. To do so, we must be able to cover our expenses. Things like hosting, server space, software, and equipment are an essential component and ongoing need for getting this message out. So we look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. And if you heard a giggle in her voice, it's because we actually had this piano player come in, a different piano player. Yeah, today we opened up the studio and there was the studio's in the back of the church. So we opened up the church and there's a guy standing out there. He said, hey, I want to come in and say a prayer. And so he came inside and after a couple minutes, we had set up all of our recording equipment and he was playing the piano in the church. Anyway, I won't go there. I'll call it a circus, okay? One day you got to come and see what the circus act is over here, okay? There's wild things that happen over here. Anyway, Susie made an important announcement. Any way that you can get involved, most importantly, your prayers, they go a long way. We are going to call it a day for today. We're still having some technical issues. I'm sure you heard it this time in a lot of there was some popping and maybe some missed moments. I don't know what the problem is. Ken didn't have a chance to work on it, actually. I'll apologize for you, okay? Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing this favor for you, okay? So don't forget it, okay? He didn't have a chance to work on it. Hopefully, we'll have it resolved by next week. It's either a software issue or a hardware issue. And you know why I know that? Because it could either be a software issue or a hardware issue. It can't be us, right? It can't be a human issue. Anyway, we will try to resolve it by next week and have a little bit cleaner sound to it. but I hope the message got across today. I am going to change my shoes into my walking shoes, get in another walk this evening, and look forward to doing the 39-mile walk in Santa Barbara against breast cancer. And all of you who would like to attend, we end up at Carpinteria. It's a small little town south of Santa Barbara. We should be crossing the finish line, if all goes well, around 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. If you happen to be in the area, do stop by and high-five us. I'd love to see you. Team In Her Shoes, that is the team that we are walking with, part of the bigger Avon Walk Against Breast Cancer. And we are going to be walking. We are walking! And we're going to bring an end to this dreaded, dreaded disease. Hey, listen, then we're going to call it a day. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. For the wonderful crew who put this together, I want to remind you to join us on Facebook, on Twitter, and all the local places that you do find podcasting. We are on Blueberry. If you haven't checked out the Blueberry app, please do so. It is wild. For the crew, Susie, our producer, Valher, our webman, and Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.